Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In the first meditation, in his great work, The Meditations on First Philosophy, René Descartes will introduce a figure that has captivated readers' imagination ever since, and we typically talk about this as the evil demon or the evil genius, both of which are perfectly fine English translations for the term that Descartes himself uses, the mauvais génie in the French translation, or in his original Latin, of course, it's genium malignum. So we've got some sort of very powerful being who is also bad or evil in some important way. And now Descartes doesn't introduce this because he really believes that there is such a being. If you go on in the meditations, you see that he thinks that there is a God who is all-powerful and all-good. There is no evil genius. So you might say, well, why is he talking about this then? And the reason is because this provides him with a hypothesis that he can use in order to help himself doubt. Doubt is one of the key parts of the Cartesian method. And by bringing in some sort of idea like this, an idea of some sort of evil being, a personal being who is intentionally deceiving Descartes, he can strip away a lot of the beliefs that he has held and still finds himself, whether he likes it or not, holding with some degree of what we could call probability or plausibility. And Descartes' goal is to get rid of all of those, to suspend them, to put them to the side. So he brings in this hypothesis, sort of like swinging to the other extreme in things. He brings in this hypothesis so that he can rid himself of those. Not because he actually thinks that there's anything remotely like what's depicted in The Matrix or The Game or The Truman Show or any of the movies that people often liken to this sort of scenario. And remember, Descartes is coming up with this idea in the 17th century on his own and thinking maybe everything that I'm encountering could really be a product of this. So let's take a look at what this being is like, how Descartes depicts him. And he does it in Meditation 1, but also again in Meditation 2. So there's really two main traits that occur in this. One is he says that it's very powerful. There's a certain evil genius or demon, no less clever and deceptive than powerful, who employs all of his industry, all of his ability, in order to deceive me. So whatever powers this being has, he is turning the full bore of it onto Descartes. He's sparing no expense. He's sparing no attention. That's his goal. Whatever, you know, you can say, why the hell would he care about that? Well, Descartes doesn't worry about that. So he's incredibly powerful as we can imagine. And he's also clever, rusé in French, and deceptive, trompeur. And he's trying to deceive, tromper, Descartes. So what does he do? How does he deceive Descartes? Again, remember, Descartes is using this as a wedge to try to strip away all these old beliefs, at least for the moment. So he tricks Descartes into believing a whole bunch of different things. And we'll just take the Meditation 1 formulation. We can look at how it comes out in Meditation 2 in just a moment. So he says, he uses all of his industry in order to fool me, and so I will think to myself that the sky, the air, the earth, the external world, right? A little bit later he'll say all of these exterior things that we see, right? So the external world as a whole is being portrayed as an illusion or hallucination or deception brought about by this super powerful being who is somehow putting these ideas into Descartes' mind. That doesn't mean that there isn't a world, but Descartes can't say that there actually is a world. So that's part of it, that the world exists. And then if you think about Descartes' process in Meditation 1, he's not just talking about individual things, and he's not just talking about the world as such, but he talks about certain ranges of our perceptions that could be turned into imagination. So he also talks about colors, right? Colors, you know, maybe if the world isn't what we think it is, at least there's colors, and we could use those in an imaginary way to reconstruct something. Or getting even closer to what Descartes takes extension to be about, figures, shapes, you know, structures of things, or sounds, and he could go on and on with other things. Maybe at least these exist, or maybe the evil genius is implanting those in my mind. Maybe there's not only no colors, maybe there's no triangles, maybe there's no circles, maybe none of that actually exists. And then Descartes goes on further and says, he also deceives me into thinking that I have a body, right? He says, I will consider myself as not having any hands, any eyes, any flesh, any blood, not having any senses, but believing falsely to have all of these things. So, you know, our perception of our body is something that's with us all the time, and we could add more and more to that. Maybe I don't have the proprioceptive, you know, capacities of figuring out where I am, right? Maybe I don't have the pain that I feel when I poke myself. Maybe all of that is simply illusions that are being brought about by a consistent deception of me. And Descartes is saying to himself, maybe the demon is doing that, or, you know, if not, I don't actually need a demon. I can just decide for myself to doubt all these things. It just helps to have somebody who I could blame it on, you might say. And so he says that what I'm going to do, here's my resolution, I'm going to take care, and here I'm translating rather loosely, he says, that's why je prendrai garde soigneusement, right? I will take care, I will be attentive, and then soigneusement, with very great care, not to accept anything into my beliefs that has any falsity, aucune falsité, right? And he says that I will prepare my mind against all of the ruses, all of the tricks of this great deceiver who, as powerful and as clever as he might be, will not be able to impose anything upon me. So notice that Descartes is not depicting this evil demon as totally able to deceive him. Descartes says, actually, if I withdraw my assent from all of these things, I don't let any of these things that I don't know for certain in, I treat them all as false, I can keep myself from being deceived no matter how powerful and how clever this being is. And I would like to sort of conclude by talking about two other very interesting metaphors that Descartes uses. Descartes is a master, by the way, of images and metaphors for all of the distrust that he often evinces of them. He talks at the very end of Meditation 1 about being like a slave or servant who is having pleasant dreams and doesn't want to wake up from them, even though he realizes that they're dreams, that they're illusions. And he doesn't want to wake up from them because he knows that his wake, you know, his awoken life is not going to be very fun. In Meditation 2, he begins by saying that he is like a person who has fallen, here we go. He says, it's like I had fallen into a very deep body of water, and I was so surprised that I wasn't able to place with any confidence my feet on the bottom, nor can I swim to hold myself above. And so doubt is you know, being portrayed there in a way that, you know, holds out the possibility. Maybe we won't actually reach any foundation. Maybe if there is an evil demon, maybe we never arrive at the truth. So what we see here is Descartes is using this hypothesis as a sort of linchpin to, you know, pry away all of these deeply held beliefs that he has. Why attribute it to a single being like this? Well, Descartes also has a preference for saying, you know, and we see this in other works as well as this, things that are created by one person tend to be better than those created by many. They're more orderly. So if one being is devoting all of his attention to deceiving this other one being, you can expect that the illusions would be quite good. But you notice that, again, not only is this just a hypothesis, Descartes says, even if such a being did exist, I would have the resources to be able to combat his illusions. So that is what Descartes is doing with this evil demon or evil genius. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.